Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and man, I am so glad I am not Logan Paul right now. And with me, I have...
I'm Alex, 90% Devil Man, 10% laced in Versace.
And...
I'm Morgan, here with me is the one, the only... Tell me why so. Come on, speak up, man. You can say, actually, you know what? No, you said too much. We're time, right?
What a story, Mark. Hey, I didn't have to actually force a room reference myself. Hooray.
Yeah.
Ah, they should have let him talk, man. You know, because otherwise we had to hear James Franco speak.
Yeah.
But, yes, we are finally back from our little, holiday shenanigans. You know, we had our big long 2+ hour rundown of our favorite albums of last year, a little powwow with our friend Tyler that was sadly
friend in quotation marks
that was sadly missing a John, someone who actually is our friend,
which made the whole show about 2500% less enjoyable. And as a result, I'm sorry, that was a train wreck.
Eh, it could have gone worse. I mean, why do you think I chose not to invite Joey? Hey-o! What? I like roasting the training stage, guys. It's fun.
We know. We know.
All right, so, I guess I might as well ask what y'all were up to in the interim, how y'all spent your past few weeks off from stuff.
I passed a couple of weeks enjoying some paid time off for once.
Nice.
And that resulted in me going to Dave & Buster's to have a little bit of fun and enjoy some surprisingly good food, actually.
Along
with
seeing
Star Wars. Yeah. Along with seeing Star Wars again in a Dolby Cinema theater, which was pretty cool.
Damn, very nice.
Yeah. And I got to enjoy about $175 in gift cards, because that's the best gift to give everybody who has everything. With which I spent that money on video games, because everyone loves video games.
I got
myself eShop funds for Nintendo stuff for whenever something shows up that I like. Fire Emblem Warriors, and the most charming game ever, Super Mario Odyssey.
So much fun.
Oh, yes. And I also bought this thing, Super Nintendo Classic Edition? I don't even know.
No, it's SNES Super Nintendo Classic. It's like Super Saiyan God Super Saiyan. You have to say the whole thing.
Yeah, but you know, no big deal. I'm pretty sure that's easy to find.
I mean, yes, it is. There isn't a joke there. They've actually been doing a good job of stocking that stuff. I actually saw it at, like, a Best Buy when I went not too long ago.
Mm-hmm. I just walked in the GameStop, and there it was. So I said, yes, I'll agree with the devil on my shoulder. I will buy this, and I'll worry about everything else later. Oh, and I should also mention, it's been so goddamn cold outside!
You sound like everyone else on the internet.
How do people live like this? It's terrible.
Well, I'll tell you how they live like it. They live by taking the forces of nature and turning it on each other in the form of snowballs.
Clearly, but you don't have to worry about that. You live in Miami, for God's sake. All you have to worry about are hurricanes every other year.
You make it sound like that's an improvement. Do you have any idea what it's like to go? Do you have any idea what it's like to go a week without power when you don't have access to Spotify, anime, and memes? It's so terrifying.
Well, earlier me from like 2002, 2003 would have to argue that... Never mind, I'm getting off topic. But to wrap up my little spiel, I ended up celebrating the new year in a way I never imagined. I fucking cracked my phone.
Oh.
The glass on my phone just cracked, and I can't get a replacement for a while. But the good news is it still works perfectly. It's just, it's got a gigantic spider web all over the screen.
Spider web. Spider web. It spider interferes phone. With the functions of your phone.
Yeah. Why must you betray me, Case? Yeah.
See, what kind of case did you go? Because, see, this is why you gotta go Otterbox. They're primo on this shit.
I did have one, but then my battery started to die all the time, so I had to get a battery case. And the little topper on it slipped off, and my phone fell, and it cracked, and I'm really pissed. I need to get a new phone sometime very soon, because this one's 3 years old, and it's dying on me.
Hmm. What about you, Mark? You got anything?
Well, let's see. Over the past few weeks, let's see. Saw The Last Jedi. I thought it was great. Fuck you, dumbass fanboys.
Yes, seconded.
And okay, let's see. You know, spend time with Christmas with, you know, folks and all that. Got me a gift of the form of Cowboy Bebop DVDs on Blu-ray, which, hell yes.
Ooh, which packaging? Was it like the regular Blu-ray or that super fancy limited edition?
It was the regular. It wasn't special. It was the Secret Santa thing, you know.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Your coworkers know you well.
Well, it's more of a friend thing than coworkers. Since you mentioned work, I'm gonna say this. Since you mentioned a coworker earlier. Man, I fucking hate having to sweep outside when it's like almost close to 13 degrees and my hands are like numb as fuck.
Yeah, that's what I had to do for about a week, working outside.
Yeah, it's like, come on, I need to hurry this shit up. It's like, if I miss anything, like, I don't care, fuck it. Me being warm is more important than having to sweep a bunch of cigarette butts that I'm pretty sure nobody gonna see, but other people who expect the shit, although they gonna see the shit. But yeah, that happened. And shit, what else happened over the last few weeks? So far, that's pretty much anything notable, to be honest.
Ah, noted. As for me, obviously, you know, use the time off very wisely to mostly just kind of play video games and, you know, do other things that were basically just lazy indulgences. I finally got a Nintendo Switch for Christmas, my very own, with a copy of Sonic Forces, which was kind of a chore to play through.
Yeah, it's not the greatest game, it's just sort of there. Kind of like gonorrhea.
As for my various gift cards, $15 to Taco Bell, which is now down to about $1.30. If I recall, that's what it said on the receipt last time I spent it. Subway gift card for like, I think it was $15. $50 of Best Buy gift cards, which I spent not on a better Nintendo Switch game, but on the limited edition Blu-ray of One Punch Man, which has some very nice art cards and a cool little art book and everything. It's a very nice package. So I only ended up having to spend like $12 on that thing. You bully. Any other gift cards? Well, I got a $25 gas gift card, so thankfully I don't have to spend that on gas for like another couple weeks. Hoobly.
Hey, that's good.
Pizza. Oh, I got a $10 Microsoft gift card, so I was able to finally buy Cuphead on my laptop, which I guess can apparently run games. Which I guess makes sense. It's got one of those fancy Intel processors instead of my home all-in-one desktop, which has some fucking AMD type shit. Yeah, one of those that's vulnerable to Spectre, if I recall correctly.
Oh yeah, I think of the AMD shit too. Oh,
God.
Yeah.
Who names that after a James Bond villain? Seriously.
I don't make the rules of computer programming. There were a bunch of trips to the movies. Of course, Last Jedi, which the official statement of this podcast is Last Jedi is awesome. Everyone shut the hell up. Disaster Artist, which I thought was decently entertaining. Shape of Water, which needed more of the sexy fish, but was really great otherwise. Seriously, sexy fish. You need to pleasure yourself with the fish.
Well, if I want to experience sexy fish, I'll just play Zelda Breath of the Wild. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, this guy gets it. Was there anything else? I think that's basically about it. I think other than finally, like, doing a recording session for, like, the project that my band is planning to put out, but I think I may have mentioned that in a previous episode. Not to mention, I didn't go to Japan and film a dead body. Thank God for that.
Get your shit together, YouTube. Seriously.
You know, I'll just say this right now. If Japan actually wants to institute a Trump-style travel ban on American citizens, I can't say I blame them. Just saying.
Yeah, just start with the blonde-haired Aryan Hitler youth. Yeah. Like Logan Paul.
Yeah.
Don't forget his brother Jake.
Don't blame him too.
But that's all the formalities. We got to move on because this is the new song discussion segment, as always. And of course, remember there'll be a playlist down in the description if you want to follow along with us. But we got about some catching up to do here. 15 songs. Maybe we can get through this quickly, depending on how much we have to say. So let's actually get into this, starting from the very top. Now, one of the big things that happened during the Christmas break was, of course, the final three shows of Mathcore Icons' The Dillinger Escape Plan. A very sad set of shows indeed. A band that was so consistently excellent, so exciting, inspiring so much throughout, like, their tenure in the scene. But now it's obviously time for some other band to try and step up. Maybe bands that have been toiling around for a while but never got as big might be able to rise to that level. Let's take one example here. This mathcore group called Rollo Tomasi, who have been around, they're up to like four albums, and they're currently in the middle of prepping their fifth, titled Time Will Die and Love Will Bury It, coming out on the 2nd of March. But they've kind of been just kind of like there. They don't seem as big as another band, so with the obviously Dillinger hole in the, you know, music scene, they might have a chance to step up. I really got to check out more of their stuff. I kind of like that the song they released from the album called Balancing the Dark. It's kind of got an opening similar to the song When I Lost My Bet. Just you kind of listen to that fast, sort of soft key and synth and drum rhythm. You know, it sounds very loungy, but it's got a fast driving tempo. And then once it actually gets into the verses and choruses, there is that big, massive threat groove to it. And the vocalist on this, the band's Friend of My Woman, she's got some pretty powerful, growls and shrieks. And if there's one thing I really do like, it's that they don't try to force clean vocals. I don't know if she does normally. I wouldn't be surprised if they did because, you know, it's more marketable. But the fact that she keeps just to the growls and shit is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I like it overall.
Yeah, me too. It's really heavy riffage all over. And I heard some progressive grooves going on there within the structure. I like that. But what's with the bookend with the Muzak-style piano beat? What's up with that?
Well, I mean, that's what I said. It's the Dillinger thing. They got to remind you that they're, you know, trying to fill the void, I guess.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
And now, moving on from that to the next song over here. I forget how long ago it was. Oh yeah, I think it was the year 2015, when I first got into this band called Harm's Way, which is the answer to the question, what would a Muir sound like if they were actually good? I know! It's a shocking concept. They Crazy. Came out with the album Rust that year, and it was one of my favorites of that year. Just like, it's the best kind of mindless, like, chug-heavy moshcore fodder. And so I was curious when they would come out with a new one, and it turns out we already know when. February 9th, we'll see the release of their next full-length album, Post-Human, which also signifies a change of label. They used to be on Deathwish Records, now they're moving all the way up to Metal Blade. Very nice. So, let's see what they had to offer with this new song, Human Carrying Capacity, which kind of sounds like video game terminology. To start off, it definitely has met much of that, like, moshcore chug factor of, like, what their last record was, but it's definitely a little less reliant on, like, the D-beats, and the vocal styles and the production definitely seem to try shifting to more of a metal tinge. Not, like, over-the-top metal, but you definitely notice that edge there. And it's got just this killer sort of, you know, mid-tempo double bass groove with the chugging guitars and everything. I especially kind of like that bridge in the middle with the drums and the heavy, like, feedback, which kind of sounds very much a lot like older Harm's Way. And I think the most metal thing in the song is, like, that I think it's before the second chorus when you hear the guitars doing sort of a solo, but it mainly just sounds like that fucking squealing thing you hear in, like, every Slayer song. You know the one?
Mm-hmm. I know the one.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. Could be a fun old moshy time.
Mm-hmm. This is my first time checking these guys out. Solid hardcore, really good stuff. But that middle section at, like, a minute 24, so good.
They know how to make this shit work. You people could be listening to this band instead of a Muir, so why are you wasting your time on Frankie Palmieri and his bullshit?
Well, as we've all learned, people are attracted to bullshit. Again, Logan Paul.
Yes, they are. Anyway, moving on to the next song here. Holy shit, it's been 5 years since the last album by this band. Damn, it feels like it's been a while. Shit. We are, of course, referring to the Israeli progressive metalers Orphan Land, who are coming out with their newest record, Unsung Prophets and Dead Messiahs, in a couple weeks, it looks like. Yeah, January 26th. Like I said, this is the follow-up to their 2013 release, All Is One, which is how I was introduced to them, and I actually kind of like it. It's kind of corny as all hell, but I do like the way they tend to sort of construct their melodies, both on the vocal and guitar sides. And you definitely get that here on this song, Like Orpheus. The guitars are, you know, those epic soaring kind of power metal balladish tones with a lot of those swelling background choir vocals that just ramp up the epicness while maintaining that steady driving beat combined with those tasteful string arrangements and some light sitar touches. Of course, as always, the vocals for me are kind of the showstopper here. Seriously, there's some gorgeous arrangements and just pure power in those performances. I, of course, like it, so I'm curious to see how they follow up their last records. It's been quite a while, and this song seems like it's shaping up decently.
Israeli prog metal. I can dig it. I can dig this a lot.
Yes, he can.
Yeah, something now, we can agree on. I have to make a note here. I don't know if this was just something I heard by listening to it, but did the guitar sound kind of buried in the mix?
Yeah, the orchestral symphonic elements kind of overwhelm it a little, I'll admit.
Yeah. Yeah. But other than that, I can dig this, and the video especially, it's great. It has the narrative of the two fans who obviously are on different walks of life, I guess I could say. But it all builds them going through the show, and there's a very solid message at the end with respect to Judaism, Islam, and metal. That's what we need to see more of. Not all these people going, well, it's a brown religion, therefore it's bad because, you know, God forbid all these goddamn white people bother to learn about the plight of minority groups all over the world. I might have watched Rap Critic's best lyric video today.
Metal is the thing that brings us all together.
Hear, hear.
Anyway, let's dive bomb back into some political controversy for a minute. So, I'm a fan of the band Ministry. You know, the long-running industrial metal project fronted by good old Uncle Al Jorgensen. Even saw them live like a couple years ago. It was pretty fun. They've been prepping their latest record, AmeriKKCant. Jeez, that's a good title. Coming out March 9th, and we have the lead single from the album, Antifa. And I see you about to hit the dislike button. Calm down. Well, I mean, just let us speak first, then you can dislike all you want. Now, it's not like Ministry haven't gone political before. Hell, back in the mid-2000s, they released a trilogy of albums that were all about critiquing the Bush administration. And those are actually some of my favorite albums of their career, even though, granted, by the third one, they were kind of beating a dead horse. So I was kind of curious how this one would pan out, and okay, the thing here is the music is fucking weak. It's not like they can't do slow, grooving songs as From Beer to Eternity had plenty of those, but if you're gonna write something that has a vicious, self-righteous political bent, it should at least have, like, a pulse to it. I mean, say what you will about Straight from the Path's Goodnight Alt-Right, at least that shit jammed. This was just too slow and mid-tempo to be, like, you know, a good political protest anthem. Maybe if it had, like, the thrashier bite of those mid-2000s albums, I'd be kinder to it, but yeah, musically, this just ain't doing it for me.
Yeah, I've never been too deep into Ministry, so this kind of didn't do it for me from the start, but yeah, this song, it's, yikes. Yikes, yikes, yikes. Too specific with the call-outs. That does not make for good, I guess you could say, anti-authority music. You gotta be vague. You gotta be very careful with your words, because otherwise it just ends up sounding trite and cliche. Oh, and Joey Badass called. He wants his album title back.
I see what you did there. And speaking of... Actually, this transition is unrelated to the next songs. Now to play catch up with the past 5 or so weeks of Adult Swim singles we missed.
Oh yeah, we've been far behind on them. We've been on break of that, but yeah, a lot of shit came out during that time of, you know, of us just for lack of just, you know, taking it easy. We needed that, but
so anyway. Yeah. Let's start from the top here. The first of these, you know, which dropped, for the record, to get you caught up, the last one we talked about was from good old Colin Stetson. This one comes from a rapper called Your Old Droog. I'm trying to remember what a droog is. Is that what they called the dudes from Clockwork Orange? That's what they called those guys, like the main characters and everything. But yeah, he brings us this short little 2.5 minute ditty called You the Type. Which kind of has a really weird beat to it. Like, I don't know how to describe it other than it sounds like someone rapping over, like, Cheech and Chong's record collection. It's got that 70s psychedelic, like, yeah, Grateful Dead sort of vibe to it, just with, like, you know, bars.
Yeah. That's what I got from that, too. Like, it got this old, like, this old 70s, the 70s funky, like, Dolomite type of shit on there.
And, of course, it's just a song all about him roasting some people. Or is it just the same guy? It sounds like he could be talking about the same guy. You the type to wash your... Wait, what? Oh, shit, I typed that line wrong. Fuck.
You the type to say it's bad instead of bass. You the type to wash your ass before your face.
Like, you the type to wash your ass back to front. You the type to lock eyes with another man while eating a banana. This is like listening to Ice Cube's character in Friday. Just sitting on the porch talking shit. It's fucking funny.
Man, it's just hilarious. I was checking like a couple times. I'm like, man, this is a good roasting track. If there's good practice. If you want to roast somebody, just listen to this and you'll do well.
Straight up, maybe I'll check out some Your Old Droog. Maybe he's got more roastings to offer in his discography. And up next, song number 2 we're catching up with comes from footwork producer Jay Lynn, who of course is riding pretty high from the various best of the year accolades that Black Origami got, which I can't believe I didn't even mention that as an honorable mention. Can you believe that? That was a pretty good album.
Yeah, I forgot. Damn, I forgot about that one too. Shit, I'm slipping.
So, she decides to bring us a little tune called ICU, which I can't tell if that's a letter pun or referencing the intensive care unit. For this song, it's okay. Granted, I'm kind of let down a bit by the simplicity of it. I mean, yeah, there's still kind of some weirdness with the electronic synth melodies, but the actual beat, it's kind of got like a lot of booming low brass mixed in with a standard trap drum beat. It's not as frenetic as something like Challenge to Be Continued or the song that she came out with on last year's singles program. It's just kind of there.
I'll say there might be one, two more stuff I'm like, okay, because I've been like, this is fine. I heard like an air horn type of sound. Oh, it's like the sound, like you remember that the sound effect when you watch Kill Bill, where you see the bride go into her revenge bowl, going that type of sound before the whole.
Oh yeah, that sound. Yeah,
that sound like, yeah. I got like a bit of that because I heard, because I heard that same sound effect on some other songs before. After all, check itself. It's decent. I do like the whole. It is Fnatic. It is pretty much her. You know what she usually do on there. At least for me, at least from what I heard.
Yep. That's basically about it. So, Mark, you want to segue us into the next one?
Oh yes, because I know you showed me this one a long time ago. So we're going back to Mr. Dabare. So of course you know his album 3-3 is coming out February 16th, a day which I love. We'll get to that later. So he released, so because I'm singles list, he released another track off the album, this time featuring the one, the only, Ghostface Killah.
Hashtag where's Doomstarks.
Okay, anyway, it was every guy is called Emancipated, and I'm gonna say this, like, Ghostface, you know, he delivered, you know, his usual shit. He brought some bars in his shit. Especially on the second verse, like, your 90-pound pits locked on your femur, kamikaze Obama Hiroshima. In the last part, move like a shark in shallow water, ripple slaughter, I hand a nigga Trump head south of the border.
Ah, that was a good one. Don't forget the chocolate puns in there.
Oh yeah. There's some chocolate puns with more cocoa to nut down better than Nestle. Especially Reverend, hit him next week. This dude's killing me. And I do like the production in here. It's like that, like this whole, I don't know how to describe it, but very, I would say frenetic. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, the beat itself? Yeah, there's a lot of tweety synths and definitely a lot of that. Hell, the beat has a lot of like wooden clickety clacks. It's like listening to
like that sound. Like
straight up?
Like something like that. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to more of what Dabra brings us next month.
Yeah, one more month. Ghostly International, call me. Anyway, up next, the single comes from a artist by the name of Chad Van Galen. Do you pronounce both A's in there? I'm not sure, but I've heard of this guy. He's a musician and multimedia artist. He does some animation work for, like music videos for, like, you know, super underground, like, indie bands and stuff. I think something he did once aired on Adult Swim, I want to say, but I feel like I'm remembering that slightly wrong. But yes, this man has given us a track called Dust on Dust, parentheses, Dog Walking Jammer. I know what a jam is. I can't imagine jamming this when walking my doggo, but a dog walking jammer? That sounds like it jams a device that
would a dog measures be jamming?
If you're walking a dog.
I mean, would a dog be getting in this? I mean, would a dog be, you know, getting this jam? Like, he been, like the dog be, I don't know, dancing and shit.
Don't be ridiculous. Everybody knows dogs love hip-hop. Actually, I need to go back to that episode and check. I forgot what the dog research thing. But anyway, so yeah, this song is basically just tweety synths all around. They skitter, they bounce, they swell, they drone like it's some Blade Runner type shit near the back half of the end. It's just all over. It's a nice listen. You just sit there and zone out and enjoy the vibe before you realize everything is falling apart around you.
Okay. So yeah, I got more to say, but yeah, it was pretty alright. It's, I mean, it reminds me of something I would hear on the Adult Swim bumps playing at night, which would definitely, oh wait, no shit, is on the Adult Swim single, of course. I mean, I imagine them playing
Yeah,
this.
they would use it, obviously.
Yeah.
But, anyway, that's, I think, all we have to say, so let's move on to the last one here. So, alright, we've had two pretty good songs and two okay-ish songs. How's this fifth one gonna fare? This one coming from this rapper named Neff the Pharaoh. It's a song called Bussin', and It's not good. First off, let me just say, I don't get this beat. It's like a bad mashup of, like, Zaytoven, DJ Mustard, and that fucking... what was that song that the one Future did that was, like, Percocet, Molly Percocet, or whatever?
Mask Off.
Yeah, that one. The one it just sounds like those flutes. The flutes all mashed together into one. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And of course, the lyrics is this guy about, like, I don't know, he said something about banging white bitches in a Hummer truck, how awesome he is, and some comment about how he's perfectly capable of slitting his own throat.
Oh, huh?
I'm pretty sure that's the thing he said, like, I could slit throat by myself, or am I misreading that? I don't know, this song is okay. Just, like, lame.
I'm gonna be honest, this song flew in and out of my ear, because I'm thinking, oh, that played, this is just forgettable. I forgot about this the moment the next song plays. It's like, I can go without this. I'm not into it.
I have no urge to check out this pharaoh. This is one pharaoh that probably should have been left in the sarcophagus. What, no one thought that was funny? Damn it. Alright, so that basically ends our catch-up with Adult Swim singles, so let's move on to the rest of the material. But first, let's pour one out for our friend Filthy Frank. Yes, Mr. Joji announced rather recently, for good, that the Filthy Frank character is now good and dead. For a multitude of reasons, his new music career, also the fact that apparently he's experienced, like, brain seizures and throat tissue damage, which likely explains the mellowed out styling of his EP.
But I've dealt with the latter. It's not fun.
Yeah,
it's kind of fucked up.
I figured this was going to happen eventually, but it's, you know, good to see that he's moving on from the edgelord stuff and can find new success in life. An artist who's probably on a similar path is the Indonesian rapper Brian Emmanuel, who rather recently announced that he's finally retiring the moniker that made him famous in the first place, Rich Chiga. Yeah, probably a good idea to leave that name behind. Although the fact that he's going just by Brian, man, that's... unless people really know him, that's gonna be hell on his fucking search engine optimization. But yes,
here's Brian. Who? Griffin? No! McKnight? Wrong one.
Mr. Brian, you know, it makes sense. He needs to, you know, get some good marketing behind him. You can't market a name like Rich Chiga with a debut album, which is coming up February 2nd. It's called Amen. And we have a single off that album called See Me. Now, obviously, we all know this guy got viral and famous off of his gangsta rap shtick, which was contrasted against the fact that this dude is a fucking scrawny Indonesian 16-year-old. And how the hell does his voice sound like this? Seriously, I still can't make sense of that. I still listen to Dad Stick convinced it's a prank. But anyway, with this song, See Me, this is more of one of those sort of moody, you know, trap sort of ballad sort of things, kind of like in the vein of, like, Lil Uzi Vert with greater clarity, or, like, Young Lean with, like, more of a presence.
Yeah.
It's nothing... the beat is nice to listen to, and he's got a good flow, I think, but the lyrics are nothing special. It's your typical stuff, like, she put me in a group chat with that pussy, talk to it, send emojis to the pussy, then beat it up till it wanna go sue me, eh? Eh.
Okay.
2.5, I guess. Yeah, it says A in parentheses. You know, you gotta fill out ad libs in the lyrics. It is what it is, I suppose. I don't make the rules of Indonesian rappers. And I guess no one else has anything to say, so let's move on. I've mentioned before that I'm a fan of the band Snapcase. I believe I also may have mentioned that Turnstile is the poor man's Snapcase. Guess which of the two bands we're talking about right now? Not the one I want to be talking about. So, yeah, Turnstile have been prepping a new album. It says it's coming out sometime, probably in the next month or two, just the vague window of winter 2018, according to this Lamco piece. And we got a new single called Real Thing, and You know, I just remembered, Alex, you said there was a football game going on tonight, right?
Uh-huh. The college football championship game, which is irrelevant because the University of Central Florida is the true national champions of 2018.
Hmm. Interesting. Now, if you're wondering why I bring that up, it's... There's a riff. The main riff of this thing, or I guess the chorus riff, rather. I don't know how to describe the rhythm and the melodic construction other than... Let's go sports team! Let's go sports team! Like, think of the brief melodic cadence and verbal rhythm of, like, the most dirt basic generic sports chant ever. Like, the stock one when you can't think of anything better. And that basically sums up the song in a nutshell. It doesn't work for me. It's just too chipper sounding to be, like, a good hardcore punk jam. And the rest of the song is just...
It sounds kind of like a low-rent jock jam is what you're trying to say.
Pretty much. It's simple as a handful of dirt.
Yep, it's definitely a hardcore song. Sure is, and, well, I mean, the bass tone was nice, and... Yeah, but I gotta say, those vocals remind me of something. They reminds me of... I can't figure out what it reminds me of. It reminds me of another band, a better band, but I don't know what it is. God.
Maybe it'll come to you when we keep going on. But
yeah, maybe.
I mean, that's kind of a vague description. Lots of bands are better than fucking Turnstile. anyway, moving on to the next song. Of course, the year started off with a new song from Maynard James Keenan fronted project A Perfect Circle, following up the big single they released a while ago, The Doomed, if I recall the name correctly, which I like that song. First time really giving a proper listen to A Perfect Circle. And of course they have a new album coming out in some vague, unspecified time frame.
Mm-hmm. Sometime within the next interdimensional time period thing. I don't friggin' know.
And so, of course, we have this new song here, Disillusioned, which, all I have to say, it sounds like the end credits of a Zack Snyder movie. Literally, the song gives me, personally, so little to work with, that's all I put in my notes here.
Really?
Word for word, that's it. I got nothing, man.
Well, I liked it. It's poignant and moody. It's got some nice cool lyrics to it. It's talking about, you know, society at large, given it could be at any given time of human history or today. But when's that album coming out, Maynard? And when's that new Tool album coming out?
Well, I mean, didn't you see the interviews? It's definitely coming in 2018.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I have it in my hand.
12 months later.
So what comes first? The new Tool album or Kingdom Hearts 3?
Oh, no, dude. Kingdom Hearts 3. That's definitely happening. Think about it like this. For the amount of time that we've been waiting for Kingdom Hearts 3, the development team have had so much more to show for it than someone like, say, the guys from Tool. Or James Cameron when he keeps saying, no, Avatars 2, 3, 4, and 5, four movies that you definitely want and definitely asked for, are totally going to happen.
Oh boy.
But yeah, imagine if I buy this album that this is going to be a song I just kind of skip over in the track listing. And speaking of songs that sound like end credits, so next month, we'll of course see one of the big blockbusters of 2018. That is, of course, Black Panther.
Yes.
Which, from all the trailers, has looked like just the most hype shit and is probably going to be one of the most significant comic book movies of the decade. You know, and we need a really big, good one to wash the taste of Justice League out of our mouths. I didn't see it. I'm just assuming it's crap because, duh. And, obviously, with the, you know, trailers featuring music from the likes of Vince Staples and RTJ, you figured they were probably going to tie some hip-hop into this in some way. And it's a pretty big way. As it turns out, there was a soundtrack for this movie that's going to be coming out the week before the film comes out, so soundtrack February 9th, theaters February 16th. And the soundtrack is being produced and curated by Kung Fu Kenny! Yes! Kendrick Lamar and Top Dog Entertainment are curating the soundtrack to what is going to be the biggest comic book movie of the year. And just to give us a little taste of it, not only do we have a song here which is featuring Kendrick Lamar, but it also features the first lady of Top Dog Entertainment, SZA. It is a song called All the Stars. So with all this hype, all this glorious splendor, and all this talent behind this soundtrack, man, this song is boring. Like, it's... the beat is, like, the simplest thing that I think I've heard Kendrick ever rapping on outside of one of his bad pop song collaborations. His flow is okay, but it's not particularly memorable. And the lyrics, it's just, this whole song kind of has, like, no punch, and no pun intended, there's no bite to this, which you would expect. You would expect this song to have some sort of bite or power, considering this is a hero named Black Panther. You think it would be more, you think it would have more of an animalistic savagery to it, like on the likes of like DNA or I don't know, King Kunta or something. This is kind of boring. Like, contrast this with like when you hear RTJ do a song for like Baby Driver. Those are some guys who knows how to soundtrack an action movie. Sorry, that I know that sounds like a downer for our boy K-Dot, but I gotta be honest, I can't lie to the people.
I will say, yeah, it is definitely more of a, it is a more slow than I thought it would be. I guess I feel like it's more, I think it's more of a SZA song than Kendrick, to be honest. With what they get at first. I mean, it does feel like something you will hear at the end credits. Although I think by the time it comes out, it might be an end credits song. Although we'll say, yeah, it's not the usual shit, but hey, baby, I've listened to this, then the most soundtrack songs nowadays, to be honest. I'm not gonna say it's perfect. I mean, it's not. I mean, I listened to it a couple of times. I'm like, not sort of. I was like, guess some of the shit they're saying in there, but hopefully I hear some, you know, hopefully I hear more in the soundtrack. I mean, I am interested to see what was on the rest of the album.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I am too.
So, that's basically about it for that. So, let's move on to the next one. One of the bigger ones. Probably the biggest one we have this week, but not the last on this week. You know, it's so weird to think, I can't remember a time when Justin Timberlake wasn't famous. That's so weird to me. It's like, for the entirety of my life that I've been conscious of, like, pop music and everything, he's always been there. He's never really gone away in any kind of meaningful capacity. That's fucking weird to me, man. But obviously he has that pop appeal, so, you know, why the hell not? So he's got he announced a new album, you know, this past week, coming out February 2nd, called Man of the Woods. Get it? Because his last name is Timberlake. Well, I thought it was... Never mind. So, yeah, from the snippets, little trailer he released, along with, like, the album art and everything, everyone kept looking at this thing like he was going to be going to some kind of, like, folksy route, you know, in the vein of Mr. Hashtag Who the Hell is Bonnie Vare? Remember that, kids? But now we have this, we know what the first single from the album is. It is a track called Filthy, and, you know, I gotta say, Justin's performance on this thing is fucking weird. It's kind of this really awkward, choppy, electronic pop sort of thing, with, like, some occasional natural bass instrumentation and those weird interludes that kind of sound like a 70s or 60s or 70s prog rock band, but the rest is, like, this bad Jamiroquai knockoff. And his vocal flow has a lot of, like, it's super choppy staccato. He doesn't really know how to emphasize words. It just kind of seems like it's mostly mumbling through half of it. Except for, like, certain passages where, like, the end of every phrase ends with, like, that upward inflection. You know, like he's doing a fucking Imagine Dragons impression.
Don't.
I'm not.
I know what you're talking about.
I'm not.
That song is banned. Banned.
I'm right there with you. I'm not even going to impersonate Justin's version of it just for fear of reasons. But yeah, this whole thing is just kind of an awkward mishmash that I'm not even... Oh, okay, granted, it's not as awful as something like, say, Look What You Made Me Do. But I just have no clue what the hell Justin's going for on this thing.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to say this. When he said, everybody say it's fake, I thought that was for real at first.
Dude, so did I. Holy shit.
Oh, like, God.
I'm like, I mean, I know Pharrell's he's produced an album along with Timbaland, who produced this track, which, Timbaland does still do shit. Like,
okay. Oh, for real? I didn't know that was him. Shit, yeah, what's he been up to?
Well, I heard some shit happened. Like, he almost, I don't know what happened, but I heard some bad shit about him, but yeah, I don't know.
Right.
Know, but yeah, this song, I don't know. It's like, it seems something I would like from the sound of it, but it's like, I'm looking for a big question mark. That's it.
That is it indeed.
Yeah. And I just can't be bothered anymore with Justin anymore. Sorry, after Can't Stop the Feeling. That was it. I checked out. See you on the other side.
But anyway, let's move on from that to the last song of this week. And maybe we can end out on a decent note here. Of course, Judas Priest are back, Mofakas!
Woo!
New album, Firepower, coming out March fucking 9th. We have the first single, Lightning Strike. It sounds like every Judas Priest song I've ever heard in the past couple of decades. Which is to say, it's pretty damn good. You know, the drums are very double bass heavy and grooving. The guitars, when they need to, they shred like fuck. And Rob's vocals performances. There's still that, you know, really good power to them combined with like the ear-piercing tonality that you would expect from them. If I do have a gripe, though, it's kind of with the structure. You kind of almost don't notice when it switches between, like, one segment of the song and another, because the drum beat is very constant. There isn't, like, a meaningful pause or, like, fill whenever it goes between segments, so it you almost kind of, like, just zone out after a bit.
Yeah, it's an alright Judas Priest song. It's solid Priest offerings in a short 3.5 minute song structure. You got the awesome vocals, you got the solid drums, you got the blistering solos. It's all there.
Yeah, so, you know, we're probably going to be due for another pretty entertaining Judas Priest record. And that's basically about all we have to say. So that's, what, like 15 songs in 50 minutes almost? Or maybe 40 minutes.
Well, almost 50, but you get the point.
I'll go back and count once we're done with all this, but... Yeah, that covers all the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have a few news topics to discuss, so stick around, kids. And we are back. So we only have three news topics to discuss here, and all three of them are festival announcements. You know, good way to start the year. Everybody obviously wants to build up the hype to the summer festival circuit. So let's start right here at the top with the Boston Calling Music Festival, taking place at the Harvard Athletic Complex, obviously in Boston, from May 25th to May 27th, 2018. So, let's look at this lineup we got here. So this is starting right from the top. So we got Eminem, The Killers, Jack White, Queens of the Stone Age, fuck you, Josh Homme, The National, Paramore, Tyler, The Creator, Khalid, Bryson Tiller, Portugal, The Man, Fleet Foxes, St. Vincent, The Decemberists, oh shit, Best Boy Bass is One Direction, motherfucking Brockhampton, call your mama, son. Maggie Rogers, Royal Blood, Manchester Orchestra, Dirty Projectors, Stormzy, Thundercat, Pussy Riot, Julian Baker, All Vase, The Menzingers, The OCs, which I actually think is just OCS now, Perfume Genius, who else? Citizen, Zola Jesus, West Side Gun and Conway, Lake Elite 47, and I think that's about it for names that I recognize. Also, apparently, Natalie Portman's gonna be there for something.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, by the time this happens, Boston will have their ocean cleared out of snow.
Yeah, hopefully. But
did y'all see that? That was crazy.
But yeah, Eminem way up there at the top.
Mr. Suck My Dick, Bitch, because YouTube viewers call your album shit, which it was.
Yes, it was. You're not going to change your minds just by telling us to suck your dick. I mean, that's not even going to happen, so I don't even know why you're saying it. No one wants to suck your dick, Shady. I mean, I obviously cringe whenever I see Jack White's name. It's just like poison to me. Do I have any other observations? No, I guess not. Other than I bet the Brockhampton performance will be pretty fun. You know, when they're making niggas itch like a skin infection. I like Brockhampton. Anyway, let's move from Boston, Massachusetts, just a little bit up north. I think. I've actually... my memory of the United States map is
a little bit
good.
South, actually.
South, right. To New York City for this year's edition of the Governor's Ball Music Festival, taking place at Randall's Island Park from June 1st to June 3rd. Oh my god, Eminem and Jack White are at the top of the lineup.
But always, wait, there's more.
God damn it. Anyway, let's see what else is here. Already off to a strong start. Travis Scott. Oh, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. I like them. They're cool. Halsey.
Man.
Nerd. Oh my god, they got my favorite band. Orange Rectangular Boar.
Yep. There'd be a surprise hiding for some reason.
Of course, Khalid. Churches. Oh shit, Gaslight Anthem. Yo, that's legit. Performing the entirety of the 59 sound. Post.
Sauce
on them.
Silk City, which is apparently a team up of Diplo and Mark Ronson.
Okay, that's weird.
Lil Uzi Vert. Yada yada yada, you know the drill by now.
Mm-hmm. All his friends are dead.
Damian Marley. Wasn't he the guy that guessed it on that Katy Perry song?
No, I think that was, shit, who was it?
Skip
it was
Marley, right.
Yeah, Skip Marley. Yeah.
Who else? Cut Copy, The Glitch Mob, Dirty Projectors, Russ, Manchester Orchestra, Six Lack, Drum, Multiple Chains. Two, I think. Japan Droids, Kalayla, Vic Mensa. Oh shit, this is fucking Third Eye Blind. They wrote the greatest song of all time, Semi Charmed Life, all year. Of course, Brockhampton as well. And wait, seriously, is this. Am I just reading the Boston Calling lineup again? God damn.
Mostly.
Amine, Kaliuchis. Always the Menzingers. Yeah, this is Boston Calling again. Wolf Alice, J Electronica, Moses Sumney, The Struts, what else here? West Side Gun and those two together. Goddamn, I feel like I'm repeating myself. ASAP 12E, Slaves. That's about it, as far as stuff I recognize.
Like I've been telling you, these summer festivals have mostly the same god dang acts lumped together because, well, I guess travel costs are a bitch.
Yeah, but see, at least with the rock and metal festivals, I get, but like with this, well, Governor's Ball, remember last year they had Tool headlining. Fucking Tool! You couldn't get anything that hype for this year? Where once again, I'm like, I'm sure the Brockhampton performance will be fun. You know, provided that post doesn't interrupt.
And whoever's the orange rectangular bar thing is.
Dude, I'm telling you, the orange rectangular bar is the performer. They got the entire cast of Thomas Was Alone for this shit. Really? No one got that reference? Play Thomas Was Alone. It's one of the best indie games ever. Looking uncultured swine. But anyway, now let's move on to the last topic, the last music festival. This is, of course, the big one. This time going all the way over to the West Coast, to California. Specifically, Indio, California. where, of course, the Coachella Valley Music Coachella. And Arts Festival is taking place.
Yeah.
As always, across two weekends, from April 13th to the 15th, and April 20th to the 22nd. So, this time we're gonna go, you know, obviously take it week day by day. So, Alex, you wanna start the first one here?
Sure. So, on the Friday of these weekends, conveniently enough, the headliner is The Weeknd. And going down this list, we have your girl SZA.
Okay.
We have Kygo. I don't know if I'm saying this right. I never know the pronunciation. Jamiroquai?
Jamiroquai.
Jamiroquai.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I was close. We have St. Vincent, The War on Drugs, Vince Staples. Yeah. I'm just going to list off names here. Soulwax, Jean-Michel Jarre, Daniel Caesar, Kali Uchis, Los Angeles Azules, De Oro, Maceo Plex, Alan Walker, The Neighborhood, Alice in Wonderland, Kalela, Rez, Bleachers, Black Coffee, Super Duper Kyle, all one word, Justin Martin, Belly.
Not to be confused with regular Kyle. Super Duper Kyle.
I'm Super Duper Guys.
Yeah, we also have Dreams, Perfume Genius, Pivris, I don't know how you say that. You fucking get their fancy names. We have Moses Sumney, Leon, Greta Van Fleet.
Who suck. I just wanted to get that in there. They're literally just the Led Zeppelin copycat.
And a bunch of people who I've never heard of before, so I'm sorry, but these are names that are completely unfamiliar with me, so I can't say more than, well, it's sure to be a start to Coachella.
Hang on. There are three names here. First, there's Helado Negro, who we covered previously in the Adult Swim singles. Moon Boots, who I know is in rotation at the station. And I am so insulted that you did not name Carpenter Brute. You should know better, Alex. There's no way you could sit there and tell me you haven't played Hotline Miami, or at the very least, haven't hunted down the music from that bomb-ass Samurai Jack promo on Toonami, bitch.
I have played Hotline Miami, but you see, I'm uncultured swine. I don't know any better.
Damn right you are. This is why I'm the synthwave guy. Anyway, hey Mark, you want to take over day two?
Yeah, sure, I'll take over it. So, on Saturday, April 14th and the 21st, we have starring Queen Bey herself, Beyonce.
Yep, Beyonce.
Yep, then we got Haim, Todd the Creator, David Byrne, OJ, who the fuck is OJ?
OJ. They're a band.
Okay. Mr. Sauce himself, Post Malone, yeah. Freak Foxes, Chromeo,
Sweet.
Oh, Chic featuring Nile Rodgers, okay. Bjorns.
I think it's Bjorns, yeah.
Bjorns. Was the child, Angel Olsen, Jungle, Black Bill, oh boy. Mew, fuck it. Tasha Tana, Brockhampton.
Woo!
Marion Hill, Alina Barres, First Aid Kit, Snake Hips, Highly Suspect, WizKid. These are names getting smaller. Georgia Smith, the Black Madonna.
Don't forget about all phase.
Django, I think.
Oh, X Japan is on this? Dude, word
up. Oh, yeah. X Japan. Oh, Flatbush Zombies. Party Favor, Big Thief. He's getting smaller and smaller. Jack missed it. Chloe Nat, Joe Chloe Alley, Sir Sly, Hundred Waters, Cherry Gooby, Cherry Glazer. Glazer, Mild High Club, Priest, Ron Gallo, and a bunch of names that I either don't recognize or they're too damn small to see. Yeah. Also, my name Kittens.
Sadly, not to be confused with Kitty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean...
You know what this festival needs? Some K-pop influence.
Are you going to be one of those guys who demands that they book BTS?
Well, you know, they're becoming a big name, and, you know, it wouldn't hurt Coachella to diversify a little bit more.
Yeah, it might heal the reputation after it turns out their founder apparently donates money to Republican interest groups.
Oh, yeah, damn.
Yeah. So I got no interest in this festival. I don't think I could possibly ever go to the Empire Polo Club in fucking balls hot Indio, California.
Yeah, you know, so all the kids can see there. Like, you know, if I just want to see Tyler and Vince Staples, they're touring. Like, they're touring in the next month.
Oh, yeah, they are. The, what's it called? The Five Boy Big Fish Tour? Or is it the...
I think so. I don't know if the tour has a name, but I could go to that and not, like, bother with this festival and everything. I mean, I'm sure Brockhampton will be fun, but again, they're coming down here. Extra Band could be amusing. Now let's go with the last weekend. I'll round things out here. Sunday, April 15th and 22nd. The headliner is the other half of Walk on Water, the Shady.
Oh, God.
All three of these festivals have Eminem as a headliner.
It's proof that you can put out a bad album and still get the big money because brand recognition.
Music is like the computer business.
And it's fanboys.
Silicon Valley.
Well, stains.
One fails upwards. Anyway.
Right.
Go ahead.
I had it and I lost it. Never mind. I'll come back to you on that.
All right. So, aside from Eminem, there's Odessa, Portugal, The Man. Migos.
They're a band.
We eagerly await whatever memes you present us in 2018. Hopefully they'll be good as Ugandan Knuckles. Of course, A Perfect Circle, Cardi B, Miguel, King Cruel, Illenium, not to be confused with Willenium, Kamasi Washington, French Montana.
Oh.
Six Slack, The Drums, Aminé, Jamie Jones, Kamea. Wait, hang on, let me double check this name here. What the hell is Harrison Ford doing here?
No, it's San Holo. Totally different.
Right, of course. Fiddler, Dijloaf. Or Dej Loaf, I don't know how I'm pronouncing that right.
Yes, Dej.
Petite Biscuit. God, these names are getting small. Giraffage, Lion Babe, They, Hand Watts, Nothing But Thieves, Japanese Breakfast, I know them at least, Michael Mayer. Oh, hey, West Side Gun and Conway.
Name again.
That's a tight package. But yeah, Sunday just kind of seems like, look, this is where we put everyone else. Just make them feel welcome. Just pretend you want to be here.
Yeah. And what you said earlier about it being like the computer business, you're right. The computer business is too competitive. Get it? It's a reference to The Room.
It is. We should reference that movie more. In fact, this podcast is going to become all Room references all the time.
It's actually playing in theaters nationwide on Wednesday, if anyone's interested.
Well, I mean, you're probably going to be hearing this by Wednesday, so.
Yeah, pretty much.
So listen to this on the way there.
Yeah. But so this is just another Coachella, and this is just, you know, they're probably going to live stream the performances. You could just watch those.
Yeah, pretty much. I need.
Kind of defeats the purpose, really.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest, these guys are going to go on.
As for those that can't make it, or at least want to see the ones they actually like.
And plus, let's be honest, these guys are all going to be on their own tours. Hell, David Byrne apparently released a single today that we didn't include on the track list thing. And, you know, you're just going to go when he goes on tour, so what's even the purpose here? I mean, do you really want to sit through a weekend of Weekend, Beyonce, and Bitch I Wrote Stan? I don't want to. But yeah, that's about it for the news topics. So now, I mean, obviously we have to mention at least a few album releases for January 12th, 2018. But, you know, it's start of the weekend, things are kind of slow here.
It's dry as fuck.
I mean, we know that Jeff Rosenstock's surprise Shadow dropped a release, as well as the rapper Cupcake. But as far as stuff that's coming out this Friday, literally the only ones of note I found, oh god, there's a new Black Veil Brides record. It's called Veil. You know, as in Welcome to Night Veil, except nowhere near as entertaining. God. There's a new album from fucking Tonight Alive, Underworld, or maybe it's Underworld and I mistyped it. I don't fucking care. And then, of course, at the very least, there's at least a Joe Satriani record, What Happens Next, to be continued. But I'll probably just spend this weekend with my continued listening through of the Yes discography.
I'll just probably like, catch up my albums I missed out.
Yes.
I'll just do my usual thing of, you know, whatever it is I do.
This will probably be one of those years where your number one album of the year actually isn't the first album you listen to in the year. Can't see that.
Yeah, let's hope.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so that's about it for all that. So now we clean house and get the hell out of here. So once again, remind us, Alex, where can they find you on the internets?
Aura of Azure, literally everywhere and anywhere. Just search for it in insert website here, and you'll probably find me. So you can talk to me about all the things I'm doing wrong, which is nothing, because I am a perfect human being.
Oh, really? If you're so perfect, then how come you didn't direct the latest installment of Devilman?
What are you talking about?
Your name is not Masaki Iwasa, so clearly you're not perfect.
Well, neither is yours, so clearly you're not perfect either.
Never said I was. Ha ha, loophole, bitch. Mark, what about you?
Of course you can find me on social media via my Hybrid Media, as always. And of course on my site, the Mind of Hybrid One, at thehybrid1networkpress.com. Of course, since being January, you got time of the season, time of the new anime, of the season, all that other shit. And at this time, I can check out stuff that's on Amazon and not have to pay a double fucking paywall for this shit.
Rest in peace, Prime, Strike, whatever the fuck. We will not miss you.
Yeah, I mean,
Throw your body on the same pile that includes the Chiller anime blog. And for that matter, Chiller as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that shit's dead too. Oh, yeah, and also, we bear Cat Bass's back, by the way.
Bears. But, as for me, you can find me on all kinds of social media at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@surrealresolution.com. If you got any questions, comments, concerns, and possibly business inquiries, remember, it's another 12 months. I'm open, people. Come on. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. Audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video goes up every Friday on my YouTube channel. They go up on the Surreal Resolution YouTube channel. Just search Surreal Resolution and you'll find it. Subscribe, hit the bell tab so you're always notified whenever new episodes of the podcast go up. And of course, this is the official music podcast of Surreal Resolution, which you can also follow on places like Twitter at Surreal Rezo. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitch, where we're live streaming every week with all kinds of good gaming content. Of course, find us on our website, SurrealResolution.com, and of course, find the podcast on its subdomain, DecibelBoost.SurrealResolution.com. Listen to all our past episodes, and listen to other great podcasts as well. We recently did our crossover with The Training Stage, talking favorite game music of 2017, so check that out. And of course, I believe Podcast O&A is coming back sometime this month or next.
This weekend, actually.
Very nice.
Oh, so boy.
Keep an ear out for that. They'll be talking about anime, and it'll be fun. Be sure to keep up with any written content. We'll hopefully get back to the swing of things soon. I know I gotta anticipate that fucking Fall Out Boy record in a couple weeks.
Oh, shit, that's right.
Anything else? Be sure to jump into our Discord chat so you can chat it up with everyone from the site. And, of course, shitpost Ugandan Knuckles or the Highway Swerve or the McDonald's Triangle. Man, 2018 is starting off with some weird memes. And, of course, a shout-out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. That'll, of course, do it for this week. Thank you for listening. Join us for the rest of 2018. We're sure it's going to be a fun time. And until next time, seriously, fuck Logan Paul.
Wait a minute. Somebody touching my spaghetti!